Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
Well, I want to share with you this morning as we get into this text of Scripture, how to find some stability in a shaky world. Do you think that this world feels a little bit shaky to you? I can't see you real well because of the lighting, but if we took a poll, I think most of our hands would go up. There's things that are going on in our lives, but also when you look at the big picture, the large picture, what's going on in the world, it seems a little bit shaky. And I got to thinking, I thought, you know what? In this world that is marked with sin, that in this world that is in rebellion against God and has been since our first ancestors were placed on this planet, a world that is, as he's described in Scripture, the God, small g, the God of this world, Satan, is alive and well and walking around seeking whom he may devour. We struggle against our own tendencies to go in the wrong way, as Isaiah told us long ago, that we're like sheep that just go astray. We should not be surprised by that. So I did a little mental exercise. I thought, I'm going to go back 50 years and find out what was going on 50 years ago this year. So I went back to the year 1974. Some of you remember that year, as I do. Some of you were just known in the mind of God at that point. You hadn't arrived yet. So here was what was going on in 1974, 50 years ago. Okay, there were terrorist attacks going on around the world, probably more frequently than we are seeing in 2024. Believe it or not. There was political upheaval in the United States. You can go back and read about that in 1974. There was war in the Middle East. Does this sound a little bit like an echo? There was a great earthquake in Asia, killed over 10,000 people, they estimate. The economy was experiencing unusually high inflation. One of the big striking things that happened, there was a what was known as a super tornado outbreak in April of that year. Swept across the country. In one day, one 24-hour period, 148 tornadoes came across the United States. More than 300 lives were lost in that great calamity. And I could go on. I could go on and go on. I suggest to you, it's always been a shaky world. Now, maybe in some sense it is getting shakier. I don't know if it's a sign or a suspicion that we have, but whatever time frame you want to look at, there's something that is just unsettling about living in this place. There's something that is scary about living in this world. And I just want to give you some words of reassurance, and frankly, I want to give me some words of reassurance from God's Word, and they're God's words. And we're going to pick it up in verse 25 here in just a moment, 25 through 28, 29. It is a passage of Scripture that is the second part of what we looked at last week. And if you're with us, I want to recall your memory to that. We looked at verses 18 through 24, where he contrasts the Old Covenant with the New Covenant. The Old Testament, New Testament, if you want to say it that way. And he does it by describing two mountains. He describes Mount Sinai, where they came up and they were terrified of the presence of God. In fact, it's so much that they were just, you know, it's like we've had enough. This has to stop. Because they realized, and that was in Exodus chapter 19, chapter 20, he gives the law beginning with the Ten Commandments, and they realized, we don't stand a chance of living up to this standard. Which then he flips over, he says, but we've not come to that mountain. We who are in Christ have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, where we enter not based on our performance measured by the law, but we will enter based on grace through what Christ has accomplished for us. And he describes this wonderful thing, and I just want to, if you don't mind, I want to read it again. 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. He spent some time talking about the people and the creatures that we're going to be hanging around with. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, who have their names written there, who this is their home, this is their citizenship, this is their identity. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. I spent a little bit of time camping on that one last week, because just men, that means people who are saved, but then who are then made perfect when we're in God's presence. We are saved now if you believe in Jesus Christ, but we're not perfect yet. We are going through a process of hopefully growth and change. But it says that he is, then it goes to this phrase, 24, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, which was an Old Testament illustration. He says, now we have this blood that cleanses us from sin. Now he's going to go back to the, in essence, back to Mount Sinai again. He's going to do a little callback to what he talked about there when he says, and this is our passage for the day, 25. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. That's Mount Sinai. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Who shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only earth, but also heaven. So he's saying, you experience something on that mountain. And if we could at least take it in a little bit of a comparison, we experience some unsettling experiences in our lives. And finding stability in this shaky world is revealed to us what it is that we should do. Okay, so I want you to think with me for just a moment. Since we live in a shaky world, what do we do with that? Since we live in a shaky world, what do we do with that? You want to bring up the next slide? I appreciate it. What do we do? There's a lot of things we do that we shouldn't do. One of the things we do is simply panic. Some things we do is we are gripped with fear and inactivity. Sometimes we try to blame everybody else. Sometimes we try to, I just want to get that feeling out. Maybe I do that with medication. Maybe I do that with distraction. Maybe I do that by trying to go my own way. Or just pretend that I'm not living in a shaky world. Trouble is, you always come circling very quickly back to reality, no matter what mechanism you use. But what does he say here? Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Number one, out of two, since we live in a shaky world, you listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. We listen to his voice and just keep listening to what he says to us. I probably could just say amen and stop there, but I'm not, okay? I don't want to give you any false hope that we're done at this point. But we just need to listen to what God has to say. The great news is, it's highly accessible to all of us. We live in a day where you can get one of these. This one cost me $16.95. That's what this volume of the Bible come. It actually was on a clearance, and I got it at a real bargain. Regularly was $65. I got it for $16. It was a bargain. And you can get one without much effort. And most of us probably have multiple copies of these. Since it was $16.95, I bought seven of them. I wanted to have a stack. So wherever I'm at, I got one nearby, okay? But you pull out your phone. You can put it to memory. It's easily accessible. The question is not its accessibility. The question is, do we access it for ourselves? Listen to his voice. Now, he gives some statements about this listening to his voice. And go back to 25 for just a moment. See then that you do not refuse him who speaks. And he gives this warning. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, how much more shall we escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? And that's that trans, that putting beside each other, that comparison, I should say, between Mount Sinai and the heavenly Jerusalem Christ. Law and grace. Christ, the New Testament expression of that. He says, they refused what God spoke. And if you want to read the story, just go back to Exodus, start at chapter 19, which is where we're at in this kind of refrain of it, that they refused God. They disobeyed God. In fact, God speaks to them on that time. Moses stays up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, this is what the kids are studying up there. And they were so impatient because Moses was gone. And, you know, I think we could all relate to a little bit of impatience in our life. That by the time he gets back down, they've already made this golden calf and they're worshiping. And they basically rejected everything they promised to God. And it just falls into just a disaster. But he gives a warning to you and I. Not just talking about those people. Boy, how could they mess up so quick and so amazingly bad? But he says, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? This one who speaks from the mouth of God the Father, from the mouth of Jesus Christ, delivered to us in written form in a book. Sometimes we think, I've heard people say this to me. I just wish if God would just speak to me in an audible voice. Well, the matter of fact is, God did speak in an audible voice at Mount Sinai, and they basically said, no, don't anymore. We're so terrified. We're so overwhelmed that we can't stand that anymore. Let me just read it. I just can't resist. Let me just read a brief description of the Mount Sinai experience. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for you. This is Exodus 19, verses 18 and 19. Now, listen to this, and put your imagination, engage your imagination in this. Imagine you're standing at this mountain, and you're looking up, and God is coming down to meet with his people. Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. God shows up, and the earth starts shaking. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him from the voice. And it just gets into this description of this overwhelming, awesome, amazing, just dazzling display of God and his power. So, warning for us. If we ignore his voice, it puts us in a very precarious place. And for us as believers, it puts us in a place where God is not as free to bless us. We are not as free under his protection because we're obeying him. It can set us in a path that can lead to absolute disaster in this life. And we need to take that warning. There's lots of warnings, and if you've noticed this in our study of Hebrews, there's lots of warnings. This is another one. How should we turn away from him who spoke from heaven? And he says in verse 26, whose voice shook the earth. So it was this shaking voice of God. In some ways, the shakiness of this world, now God is not the cause of evil. God does not cause terrorists to go kill people. God does not cause wars to break out. But because this world is in rebellion to God, against God, and because God has cursed this world, and God has said, I'm going to turn you over to your own devices. And by the way, if you want the history of sin in the world, read the first chapter of Romans. It just starts and takes you all the way through, and it's all our fault, and we're all messed up. But it's our relationship or lack thereof of relationship to God, of the peoples of the world, that leads to the mess that's in the world. You understand, it never rained prior to the flood of Noah. That's what it says in Scripture. A whole different way to water the earth God had instituted back then. There were no storms. There were no floods. There were no pieces of your house blowing off. There were no tornadoes. There were no earthquakes. That all comes as a result of our disobedience to God. And in some ways, when God shakes the earth, however you want to define that, it's a way of God saying, remember me and listen to my voice. Are you listening to me? Next time you hear of some, you know, tsunami rushing toward a shore or an earthquake taking place, there was one in Japan just a few days ago. There was one in New Jersey. I mean, an earthquake in New Jersey? I never thought of that being earthquake zone, but it happened a few days ago. And we have our own things that go on here. You think of all that. It simply should be used by us to say, Lord, I need to think of you, and I need to listen to your voice. Maybe it's time to get out of the Bible and read through and just remind ourselves about what God is and what he's doing. And what we do is finally, when we listen to his voice, we find stability there. I'll read a verse of Scripture with you. Julie and I were having devotions on Wednesday, and we were reading in Isaiah chapter 33. And you ever just have one of those moments like, pow? Man, that is so significant. So I wrote it down, and I shared with you. There's a little video I put online this week that talks about it. You're welcome to go see it. But I'll read to you Isaiah 33:6. Listen to this. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. The wisdom and knowledge is referring to our wisdom and knowledge that we have of God and comes from God. Our salvation obviously comes from God. It's what God gives us. And I love this phrase, the stability of your times. Is it a little shaky time in your world? Is it a shaky time in the world? Is it always a shaky time in the world? The stability comes from listening to his voice, where we get wisdom, we get knowledge, and where we have the message of salvation delivered to us. It comes down to us. We must listen to his voice. That takes a couple of simple things. First of all, it takes some time. You have to devote some time to listening to his voice. You have devoted about 35 minutes or so, maybe less than that, to listening to me talk about this passage of Scripture. That, I hope you believe, is a good investment in your time. I believe God believes it's a good investment of your time. Not that I have anything really significant to say, but what it says on this page is extremely significant. It takes time. It also takes a desire to actually listen. Have you ever had this experience, even with reading the Bible? Okay, I start at the top of the page, and I'm going down the page, and I get the page, and I flip the next page, and it's like, what did I just read on the page before? And you have to go back and read it again. Am I the only one? Would you make me feel a little better, a little less guilty? Thank you for helping me out. You know, it takes some mental effort to say, I'm really listening. Lord, what do you want to say to me? And that's the third thing it takes. It takes time. It takes some energy, involvement. And I would say this, it takes prayer. Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I can't understand this on my own. I need to figure out where this fits in my life. I need to find out where my deficiencies are so I can insert your sufficiencies into that spot through your word. Lord, I am so easily distracted. We all have spiritual attention deficit, it seems like. Our mind's everywhere. Lord, help me to listen to your voice. Time, some energy, and prayer to listen to his voice. Now, he gets back to the shaking here in just a moment. And it's very interesting how we make this transition from one to the other. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now is promised saying, and you'll notice most of our English translations will have the next phrase in italics. Just so you'll know, that's usually an indication that's a quote from the Old Testament or another place in Scripture, okay? In this case, and if you have a study Bible, there might be a little column or notes in there somewhere. It'll give you the reference to where that is taken from, and that's significant. Because just like I read to you a moment ago from Isaiah 33 and verse 6, I thought that fit in our study today. Well, the writer of Hebrews thought this verse fits here, and he's explaining it. And it's taken from the book of Haggai back in the Old Testament, a little short 3-chapter book in the Old Testament. He's one of the prophets. He prophesied after the captivity, the 70 years in Babylon and all that. So he's what we call a post-exilic or after-the-exile prophet. And he's encouraging the people to get back and get serious serving God. And by the way, chapter 2 is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's one of my favorites to share at all, and I'm really going to refrain from sharing too much of it because I'll take too much time. But this verse is taken directly from this. This is verse 6, Haggai chapter 2, and here's the part he takes out. Yet once more I will shake not only the earth but also heaven. And he's talking about shaking. And it's a way to describe, Haggai uses a way to describe the power of God. If you can shake something, you have the energy to move it. For us, there's many things that we can move, and there's some things for us we do not have the strength because for our strength, it is immovable. If we all jumped up and went over to that wall and I said, we're going to push it 1 foot north. You all ready to go? We all push. Ah! I don't think the wall is going to budge, do you? It better not budge. It's not going to move because it's immovable. But what God is saying is, whole world, shake it. Yet once more, hey, let me add to that. I'm going to shake not only the earth, but also the heavens itself. Because I am bigger, I'm stronger, I'm outside of it. Before it, I created it. If you want to know about the shaky times in life, somehow it's a simple reminder that God says, I'm here, I'm strong, you need to listen to me. You want to know where to go? Listen to me. You want to find some strength? Dig into the Word of God and find out something he tells you. And for some of us, you know, maybe all of us in some way, you really maybe don't even have to open the Bible. Maybe it's something you've already know from the Scripture that's already tucked away in your brain and you just need to recall it mentally. We should always be tucking a few more things into the Word of God so we have some material for him to remind us of. But the question simply comes down to this. Are you listening? That is the question. Are you listening to his voice? Are you really listening? Listen to his voice. That's what he calls us to do. Now, verse 26 is a transition. Because in verse 27, he's going to describe what this part of the phrase, this yet once more, means. Now, here's his statement, verse 27. Now, this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, I got to tell you, the first time just casually reading through Hebrews, trying to get started on this, and it's like I read that passage, and you know what my response was? What? Okay, let's break this apart. Okay? It says he's going to shake heavens, or the earth, then he's going to shake the heavens as well. All of creation is going to be shaken by God. And we understand in Scripture that's not going to be shaken, but when the time comes, it's all going to be destroyed in fire and rebuilt, and he makes new heavens and new earth, where it's going to be completely full of righteousness rather than pockmarked by sin like it is now. You can read that in the last chapter of 2 Peter, among other places. So what he's saying is that yet once more indicates the removal of those things being shaken as of those things that are made. Things that are made, things that are created, things that are tangible, everything we believe God made, because that's what the Scriptures teach and nothing else frankly makes sense. So everything that's made, all of creation, all of that is going to be shaken as part of a process that God is going to put into place something that cannot be shaken. And he's calling these believers here in the first century AD who were shaken by pressure and persecution and discouragement and all sorts of trouble they were going through. And he's trying to encourage them, no, keep going, because yes, the world is shaking. That's God saying, listen to me. But all that shaking, the ultimate shaking, not only of heaven, but yet once more, and the heavens, and then something other's coming, because God is telling you and I that something permanent is coming. Since we are in an unshakable kingdom. Look at the next verse, 28. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, since we are currently in an unshakable kingdom, and we should do this. If you'll move the next slide, please. We serve him. That's what he says in this verse. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Shaky world, listen. An unshakable kingdom, serve. That's this whole passage. I said it in two sentences. And that's what he's telling us to do. Now, on some level, no matter who you are, where you are, if you're one of God's children, this should encourage you. This should help you. Whatever's going on in here, whatever's going on around here, this should help you. It should help me. We have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken. I don't know if you remember when you were in school and you're studying all the great civilizations and kingdoms of the world. You know what it basically is? This is history, okay? I can give you just one sentence. I can define history. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go to war, kingdoms go. That's history. Isn't that the history of the world? You know, the Babylonians. Where's the Babylonians? Where's the Sumerians? Where's the Assyrians? Where's Rome? Where's Greece? Where's all the, you know? You come even into the last century, you know, about the great European conflict and world war, and kingdoms come, they have wars, and kingdoms go. Now, we've hung around for 200 plus years as a nation. I am not smart enough, or do I have inside knowledge to know how much longer we'll be here, but I do know this, there's only one kingdom that lasts forever. Daniel is all over this in the book of Daniel, because Israel wasn't even a nation. They were just a scattered group of people hanging out in Babylon, being slaves. And Daniel gets revelation after revelation, speaking of the kingdom of God's dear son, saying, this is the everlasting kingdom. There is a kingdom that will not come to an end. No war will assail it. There will be no coup from the outside. There will be attack from the inside. There will be no attack from the outside. It will last. It is permanent. You can count on it. It'll be unchanging. It is sure. It is true. It is real. There's no other way it is going to be this kingdom which will not be shaken. Everything else, everyone else, every place there is to be for us locked into this creation, every bit and part of it will be shaken to its core by the power of God. But this kingdom will never be assailed by any enemy, by any force, by any circumstance, at any time. That's the reason it says in Isaiah 33 that knowledge and stability are the stability of your times. He goes on in that verse to say, the fear of the Lord is how we unlock this treasure. This is knowledge that we are safe, that we have stability. We treat God as God in reverence and in awe. Now, a few things that I could add to this, and let me just see it right here in the text. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God. Grace. We sing about grace, don't we? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We love grace. Oftentimes in the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament letters would say, grace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Grace. Grace is just God's help in our weakness that he gives us because he's God. Can I repeat that? Grace is God's help that he gives us just because he's God. Not because we deserve it, because we want it, because we expect it. It's because he gives it. We serve a great. We just have to believe that his favor, his power is going to be there. And I understand. Sometimes it feels like it's far away. But we've got to believe what it says on the page rather than what's going across the stage of the drama of our minds and hearts. Secondly, he says this. By which we may serve God acceptably. We accept that our mission is to serve God. And sometimes we talk about serve God. We preachers do this. I kind of missed what you talked about for your welcome, but we do. Maybe you did this. I don't know. But you want to serve God. We have this great thing that you can serve the Lord in here in the church. We need people to work in a preschool. We need people to do this. We need people to do that. And some of you do amazing things. Yesterday, a group of volunteers in our children's work showed up and spent 3 hours learning CPR and that defibrillator machine and first aid to try to be prepared if something happened, especially to the children. Our staff was here for those 3 hours. So people showed up to serve God. Thank you. But I want to remind you this. Whatever you do on a daily basis, whatever you're doing at any moment, that is your acceptable service of God. We should start our days like, Lord, what am I going to do today? I want to do this to serve you. Maybe it's the day to clean the bathrooms. Not an exactly glamorous job. Not a job that most of us would say, I'm so excited to get to clean the toilet today. But you know what? If you do that with the right spirit, to serve your family, to keep your house well, cleanliness, sanitation, all that sort of thing, even that can be your service to God. I might bump into somebody I don't really expect today. Maybe the smile on my face, maybe the kind word I offer, maybe that I just say thank you with a really sincere tone in my voice is your acceptable service to God. And maybe it gets a little more spectacular than that. I had a chance to pray with somebody. I had a chance to share Christ with somebody. But even the most ordinary thing that we do because it's the right thing to do and we do it for God's glory, that's how we serve him. What should motivate us to do that? His grace is sufficient, but we serve a kingdom that will last forever. We're plugged into something far greater than we can imagine, far more significant than we know, more long-lasting than we could ever contemplate, the unshakable kingdom of God, headed over by God's Son, the kingdom given to him as a gift by God the Father, the kingdom of his dear Son. And the great news is, either you are part of that kingdom, or you can be part of that kingdom even this very moment. And how you get into that kingdom? It's as simple as this. You believe that Jesus is your Savior and trust in him for your salvation. The Bible says there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. It's only Jesus, the only way, but thank God there is a way, and it's a way that you can access. And if you've trusted in him, you're part of that everlasting, unshakable kingdom. And if you're not, all you need to do is believe in him. If you say, I don't quite understand what that means, would you please find somebody who, a believer in Christ, a genuine believer, would love to have this conversation with you. I would, a Christian friend, family member, whoever. But find somebody that knows the Lord as a follower of Christ. Say, help me understand what this means. Tell me your story. Can you share something from the Bible that helps me understand that? Engage in a conversation with someone who could lead you further into that place where you will just believe in Jesus. Or maybe there's someone listening this morning or in this room among the crowd that's here that maybe you know all that, but you have just not got to the point that you've said yes yet. Maybe there's something you think is significant, something big, something whatever that's holding you back. I don't know if I could live that way. I don't know. What about this? Maybe that was too bad. Just get that off the screen. Just come back to this, Jesus, only Jesus. This little bit we're going to sing the final song is about Jesus, our cornerstone. He is the foundation. He's that sure foundation of that everlasting kingdom. He's the one you can stake your life on, and you can stake your eternal soul on, trusting Him. A couple more things quickly. Let's have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That consuming fire was used to purify. It was used to refine things. God is the process of refining His people. God will eventually refine all of creation. And because He is the judge, He is God, He is has the everlasting kingdom. He's the only way to salvation. He's the one that is shaking the earth and will ultimately shake the earth and the heaven, because all that which is made is going away, and the eternal kingdom is that which lasts. We should respect Him and pay Him His due, that we honor Him, that we serve Him, that we do not abandon Him. And God, help us not to doubt Him, even in the shakiness of life. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The question here is simply this: are you listening? Are you serving? May we answer those questions before Him today.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.